So, yeah, we've got a good mix, a couple from church here and then a few from out of state. So I want to introduce myself. My name is Chris Lieberman. I work here at the Children's Ministry under Chris Clark, who, was the one who was leading the conference and, kind of introducing everything. So I've been working here for about 10 years. I have gone to this church my entire life. I was dedicated actually in the previous building right before we moved over here. So I'm 31 years old. I've been coming to Calvary for 31 years. In terms of drama, I grew up going to theater camps and stuff like that. And when I was in ninth grade, I started serving at Kids Club, which, for those of you guys who don't know, that's our drama ministry here. That we act out Bible stories for the kids on a weekly basis. And so I started doing that every Sunday. And then in 10th grade, I started acting in our VBS skits, which we do every year. And 10 years ago when they hired me, I went from acting in these things to directing and acting in these things. And so I'm not like, I didn't go to Juilliard or have like advanced theater education or anything like that, but I'm someone who likes drama, not the bad kind of drama, but likes acting and likes to use that as a ministry. And so I want to talk first about why drama ministry, right? There's many different tools, many different things that we can use in order to preach the gospel to these kids. So why drama ministry? Well, it makes learning enjoyable. Rochelle was mentioning that at the VBS, like that's one of the things that every day the kids are super engaged in the skit. They're like, oh man, what is, this character going to do? Are they going to make the right choice? Are they going to make the wrong choice? Is this person going to get saved by the end of the week? So it's something that really just engages the kids. Kids love stories, whether they're watching them on TV, reading them in books. And drama is a great way to engage kids with that. It engages the senses and is memorable. If you do any kind of study on education, it tells you that the more of the five senses you're able to engage, the more that kids will be able to retain. So you can just read something, which, uses sight, but if they're hearing it, if they're seeing it, like if they're experiencing it, sometimes, and we'll talk about this later, even touching it, right? It's something that makes it more memorable, helps them to retain what they are learning, and it helps the kids understand the lesson. Sometimes, if you explain something to someone, it's in words and it's conceptual, and kids are very concrete learners. So sometimes, all right, you said this with your words, I didn't really understand what it meant, but then when we acted it out, oh, now I see that this is this character and they were doing this and that and the other thing. So those are just some of the reasons why we use a drama ministry here. And so today I want to just talk about how you could get started with a drama ministry, some of the processes we use. And I'm going to talk about two different types of drama ministry. First is kind of more of a formal stage ministry, right? Where you have actors who are following some sort of script or plan or something like that. But at the end, I also want to talk about something that I like to do when I'm teaching in a classroom that's a lot of fun, which is drama in the classroom that gets the kids involved and has the kids acting out the lessons. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time on that at the end of this workshop. And then, especially as we have a smaller, maybe more intimate group, I'd love to have some time Q&A to hear maybe what's going on at your churches. Can bounce ideas off of each other of ways that you might be able to incorporate this into your ministry. So first, getting started. So you want to start a drama ministry. You want to have something to act out for these kids. Well, what am I first going to need? People, right? Unless you want to do a one-man show every time, you're going to need some people. You're going to need some help. So naturally, you need to, have people submit resumes and acting performances, right? And make sure that you have fully experienced people who know exactly what they're doing. They're all like Oscar winners or something like that. No, of course, anyone can help. Experience isn't necessary, but they should have a desire to learn and a desire to do things well. And I'm going to say this tomorrow in my workshop about sports ministry, but I'll say this also about drama ministry, is anything that we do, we want to do it well, even if that thing itself is not the ministry. And here, let me maybe explain that with a story. Is when I was in college, I served at a after-school program, and I heard one of the tour guides giving a tour of this facility. And so this is in the inner city of Chicago, and it is mainly serving some very underprivileged kids. And they have this really nice facility. They've got like a computer lab, a gym, cafeteria, all these things. And I heard her say this thing that really stuck with me. And she said, "We don't want to just be a great after-school program for poor kids. We want to be a program that anyone would want to send their kids to, rich or poor." And so whether, again, it's acting or sports or whatever type of ministry we want to do, we want to seek excellence in the discipline that we're doing, right? So you don't need people to come that are actors that are already excellent, but there should be a desire to learn, to grow. So you see that point I put, seek to teach theater technique. Now, let me just kind of get a poll of the room. Anyone here have any kind of acting experience? Not really. So, all right, you've got some?
Yes.
Very little.
Very little, yes. And yeah, it could be something as small as a school play. But acting experience is not required. And thankfully, we live in an age where it is very easy to learn things, or at least easier to learn things that maybe you have no idea anything about it. And theater technique, right? So I could talk about a lot of technical things, use language like, facing the audience and right, stage left, stage right, learning those theater terms, learning those sorts of things. That's something that you maybe slowly want to instill in your ministry. We have a lot of young guys and young girls that they want to serve, and they might not have any experience. And so we don't put them through an intensive boot camp, but I try to, as we go through these things, say, all right, so maybe some things to remember when you're acting is always have your body facing the audience, not your back to the audience, things like that. Just trying to instill those things, because again, anything that we want to do for the Lord, we want to do it well, right? We want these people to learn. So you need volunteers. You also probably need some stuff, right? And I want to show you just some of the props we use and just show you the range of things that we have. So let's see. I'll start with some costumes. So costumes can be as simple or as fancy as you'd like. So we have some things that are literally just like tablecloths or fabric with a head and some sleeves cut out, right? It's a potato sack, you throw it over, you stick your arms, you stick your head through it. Seems like you're in a Bible times, right? Different character. You can also, there's some fancier things that you can get. So this is maybe one of our more fancy costumes, right? It's, as you can see, it's much more of a, like, outfit. It's supposed to look a certain way. So we've got all different things. We have our classic Jesus costume, which is kind of like the plain white underneath with the thing over his shoulder. So we use, but as you can see, it can be as fancy or as not fancy, right? As formal or as simple as you want. Same thing is true with props, right? You can get these like fake fruits and vegetables and things like that that are great. Or if you need 10 commandments, some cardboard, duct tape, and Sharpies are all you need for the 10 commandments, right? Actually, I mentioned him earlier. This prop is very special to me because when I was a senior in high school, my friends and I, we had this costumed event for senior high, and we decided to be a bunch of Bible characters. And so he was Moses, so he just made these 10 commandments. And we still have that prop 13 years later, which I just love. And again, we've got a staff, right? Just can be as simple as a wooden stick. This one is obviously a little bit more, a little nicer. We have fake beards. You can probably honestly get things like this at the dollar store, right? You can get those plastic pieces of armor. So you don't need a $20,000 budget in order to start your theater ministry. There are plenty of very affordable things that you can get. And you'll start to see, there are some props that you might find. All right, maybe some fake money is something that will be used for a lot of Bible stories, or maybe this. And maybe we don't need to spend $200 on a prop that will really only help us the one time that we teach this one Bible story. You know, we don't need to buy the animatronic demon-possessed pigs to walk off the cliff for the one time we do that story in children's ministry or something like that. You can start to just think, all right, how often would I use this? Is it worth the money that I would spend? But again, you might not even have to spend any money. You can crowdsource this stuff. You can say, hey, does anybody have any old Bible-y looking things in there? You have kids who are now teenagers that had all their dress-up costume clothes that they don't use anymore. You know, any of that stuff. Yeah.
And the kids were like loving every minute.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, thinking about getting rid of it, go, wait.
Yes.
Just get gold spray paint.
Sometimes the simplest things are the things that the kids just eat up, right? If we have a story where someone's worshiping an idol or something like that, we have like this angel Christmas ornament that we use that, like, you know. So, again, you don't have to break the bank. There's all kinds of very readily available ways to assemble props and costumes. All right, so I've got my cast. I've got my props. I've got my costumes, some sort of room. And again, we are blessed to be at a school that has a stage and, kind of a drama area. But you can do it in a classroom like this, right? You can improvise, you could do it in a gymnasium, whatever your church has available, you can, just get creative in ways to use it. All right, we have the things we need, now we need a plan. What are we going to do? How are we going to act it out? So our process is, I have a co-director for our children's, or for our kids club, our acting ministry, and every week we act out a story, and then after we've done it, that week's story, we sit down and we look at what the lesson is for next week's story, and we kind of plan out our script. And so what you want to do is decide on your main point or goal and build the skit from there, right? So what am I trying to accomplish? Am I trying to visually display the story for the kids? Am I trying to convey a certain point about this Bible story? And I put a point, biblical accuracy versus creative liberties. So how many of you guys here watch The Chosen? All right. So have seen it, right? So one of the topics that anytime I've been a part of a conversation about The Chosen is discussions about their creative liberties, right? So They're not simply trying to tell the Bible story, right? They're very much elaborating on it, developing the disciples into characters, right, with personalities and backstories. And I don't even have to say that it would be wrong to do anything that would contradict the Bible story. That goes without saying. What Chosen does, which people have different views and beliefs on, is things that are not covered in the Bible. Well, it doesn't tell us what, Bartholomew was like. We get next to nothing other than his name in Scripture. So, they try to build out a character for him or the other James or what have you. And so different people have different views on that, right? Some people will say, if you're not line for line, event for event, action for action, following what's in the Bible, then you're taking liberties you really shouldn't take. Other churches are going to say, all right, if you could reasonably infer that this is something that probably would have happened this way, you can do that. And someone else might say, all right, as long as it doesn't directly contradict what's in the Bible, it's okay. I'm not here to theologically convince you of what's okay or what's not okay, but you're going to want to have to think through that, right? And think and be able to, if someone asks you, well, why did you portray Jesus that way when it doesn't say that in the Bible? You know, you want to have thought through these things so you can give an answer. Personally here, what we tend to do is we will sometimes add scenes that will establish the story. So for example, yesterday we acted out the story of Jesus healing the blind man when he, you know, spit on the ground with the mud and, you know, rubbed it in his eyes and told him to go wash and everything like that. And to start our skit out, we did a scene that isn't in the Bible, and we had the blind man walking around and having a little bit of trouble being blind. And the purpose of that scene was to kind of establish his character, to establish, all right, this is a man who's blind, and get the kids to understand this is why it would be very difficult for him because he can't see and everything like that. Or, you know, when we do the Zacchaeus story, we'll often do it where, you know, we show Zacchaeus ripping off some people as he's collecting the taxes to give them the idea that, hey, the point of the story is not that he was really short and he got saved. The point is actually that this was someone that people would have thought, no way a guy like this would have gotten saved. He's ripping people off. So is that in the Bible? Is that particular part of the script in the Bible? No. But it's biblically justified from the Bible. And so, you know, our personal philosophy is, all right, that these sorts of scenes are helpful, right? We're not going to create a romantic subplot between Mary Magdalene and Thomas or something like that. Like, we're not trying to do anything weird like that. But, you know, so that's just something to keep in mind. The idea of biblical accuracy versus creative liberties. A general rule of thumb, we try to follow the biblical text as much as possible when creating dialogue and lines, right? But we also, you know, that's another place that this kind of thing can come in. Do you directly quote the Bible? Or if you're talking to four-year-olds, do you use more four-year-old friendly language, try to give the sense or the meaning? And again, you can develop your own convictions on this. What we tend to do is you stick as close to the biblical language as possible, but when you're using, whether it's a big word or a concept, either, especially for younger kids, use simpler language that means the same thing, or maybe use the biblical line and then do a follow-up line that explains the dialogue a little bit more. So, any questions about that before we continue? So then, these next two points are a little bit more technical. So coming up with your script. For a while, actually, in Kids Club, we didn't do a script. And recently, we started doing that. But there's two essential types of script. Otherwise, I mean, you can do something unscripted. Generally, having an idea of this is what we're doing is a good idea. You can do a line-by-line script or a general overview. Now, if you look at the sample script that I gave you, this falls into that second category, right? So this doesn't exactly say, all right, David says this, Goliath says this, then these Philistines come here. It gives the general idea. So if you kind of look, the intro part, you can skip down. So underneath where it says roles, you know, it says, Sharon narrates that in today's story, the Israelites were facing the Philistines in battle. The Philistines line up in the back by the raised platform, and the Israelites stand in front of the stage. Goliath comes out and gives his challenges to the Israelites, and the Israelites are all afraid. So that is three or four sentences long, but that describes an entire scene that we're doing there. But I didn't write out the dialogue. So when it says, Goliath comes out and gives his challenge, that's a whole line. And so Goliath will come out and he will say, oh, you Israelites, you know, you come and fight me and everything like that. But I didn't write it out word for word there. Now, what I will do, I don't think I did it. So if you look at on the back page, the paragraph right before conclusion, so you see where it says, David goes to challenge Goliath. Goliath taunts him, but David says, and now I'm going to give a little bit more specific direction of what I want him to say. David says that Goliath may have a sword and spear, but he comes in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Today the Lord will deliver Goliath into his hands because the battle is the Lord's. Now there I put more directly what I wanted David to say, because that's a really important line. How Goliath expresses the challenge to the Israelites is a little bit less important as long as he gets the main message across, right? That he's challenging the Israelites, that it's a battle of champions, and that he is defying their God. But that line when David says the Lord will deliver Goliath into his hands because the battle is the Lord's, that's a line that I really want David to deliver, because that's kind of the key line of that lesson. So this is a more structural overview type script. For our VBS, we actually do it a little differently. That's where we do a line by line script. I don't have a sample for you guys of that, although if we do have those online on our website, which is kids.ccphilly.org. In our VBS section, it has our scripts for the last 7 or 8 years from VBS. But that one more specifically says, character one says this, character two says that, character three says this. And that is more specific. Some pros and cons for one or the other. A line by line, it's a little bit more challenging, right? Because then the actors have to learn the exact lines, and the other actors have to learn to cue off of those different lines. A lot more memorizing, a lot more work. But you also then kind of have a more definitive, this is the product that we're going to put forth. The general overview is a lot easier on the actors, but it does then sometimes leave a little bit more up to chance or the interpretation of the actors, which, depending on who you're working with, can be a good thing or a bad thing. And then structure. So essentially, and I'm sure if you thought about it, you could think of more structures, but there's a few different ways that you can structure a skit, and we use really all of them in different ways in our ministry here. So the script that I gave you is an example of the first one, problem, Bible story, resolution. So in Kids Club, what we will do is we will take whatever the kids' lesson is about. So again, yesterday the lesson was Jesus is the light of the world, and we used the story of the blind man and Jesus restoring his sight. And so we think, all right, what is the main point of this lesson? And then we try to come up with a real world scenario that would apply that lesson. And so each of our actors has their own character, right? And their character might be a Christian or a non-Christian, might have different interests or things like that. And these characters, at the beginning of the skit, they'll have some sort of problem. Maybe someone was unkind to someone, or someone broke a promise, or someone forgot something. And every single skit leads into it with, oh, well, maybe we should act out the Bible story, and that will help us in this situation. And then we act out the Bible story, and then we come back together, and the characters then learn their lesson. Oh, I guess I should have done this. So, for example, in that script that I gave you, so this is a David and Goliath script, the introduction, all of the characters are talking about this new person who moved into the neighborhood. This is just a script that we use, so all of those names, Snowball, Velma, Sharon, they're all just characters in our ministry. They have this whole story about this new guy, and they're all scared. And then, Sharon reminds them that it doesn't matter how big or how small this guy is. God is with them, and they don't have to be afraid. She encourages them to watch today's story. So, you kind of leave it at, all right, maybe when we see the Bible story, that will help us. And then the conclusion, they act out the David and Goliath story, and then at the conclusion, you kind of recap, maybe ask questions or clarify things. So that's the structure that we use primarily for our acting ministry, but there's other structures you can use as well. You can also just act out the Bible story. All right, kids, today we're going to act out the story of David and Goliath, and not have the actors offer any kind of explanation or interpretation. You just act out the story and then allow the Sunday school teachers to then do the explaining, right? So now the story's been told. Now it is up for the teachers to explain what this means, how this applies to us. And then the third structure is a skit. And this is what we mainly use in VBS. So in VBS, our skits are actually not Bible stories, because our VBSs tend to be more, I don't know if conceptual is the right word, but so for example, our VBS this year was Taming the Tongue, and we talked about speech. And so we created a story. This year it took place in a campsite, and had different examples of characters using good speech and bad speech and how it would get them into problems and resolution and stuff like that. And with that, you can be as imaginative or as simple as you want. So this year it was a very grounded, you know, realistic. We were, you know, at a campsite. It was, you know, kids at a camp. But other years we've done space, we've done Middle Ages, we've done, you know, a detective mystery. We've done all different sorts of things, different genres, different things. So those are really fun because, again, the kids really connect to the stories. But and we wouldn't do this if this weren't true, they are able to then connect the stories to the real life lessons. So when we go into the classroom and say, all right, today we're talking about lying. Now you saw today in the skit how this character, actually my character, Caleb, lied, and that led to some pretty bad consequences. And this character told the truth, and it led to really good outcomes. And it opens doors, because then the kids want to talk about these characters that they're enjoying and the truths that we're talking about. All right, let's... So any questions about structure before... Yes?
How long were you doing this in? Like, what's your time frame that you're putting all...
So our kids' club skits, I mean, any of these things can just be adapted to the needs of any ministry or church. Our kids' club skits are usually about 15 minutes, probably 3 to 4 minutes of an intro, 7 or 8 minutes of the story, and then another like 2 or 3 minutes of conclusion at the end. The VBS skits are, again, usually about 15, maybe 20 minutes. But again, all of these things can be adapted as long and short as you need them to be.
Okay.
Any other questions? Awesome. So creating characters, and this would be more so for, this obviously wouldn't apply if you're doing just a Bible story, right? Because then your character is whoever the Bible character is. If you're portraying David, you're being David, or so on and so forth. But if you're doing something that has some sort of a story, characters you're creating, here are just some things to consider, right? So, you know, I've created a character for myself. His name is Brad. Actually, it was just 1 year I did a VBS character named Brad, and I really liked the character, so I just adapted him into my permanent character for Kids Club. So the first thing that you have to decide is your what is your character's spiritual status? Unsaved, new believer, mature believer. And it's good for these sorts of things to have a mixture, right? You need someone who's like the character who's explaining, you know, the mature believer who's saying, all right, you know, this is what you do in this situation. But you also need some immature Christians or some non-Christians so that, you know, you can't just have, all right, these are a bunch of good, godly people. They got together and prayed, and there was no problems in their life for us to talk about, right? So we have some mischievous characters. We have some unsaved characters. We have characters that are trying to follow Jesus, but they struggle with fear, or they struggle with doubt, right? So my character, Brad, he's a new believer, and he struggles a lot with pride, right? Thinking that he's better than other people. And so if we're talking about pride, I might feature my character as a main, you know, a more highlighted character in that story. And then building a personality, right? So there should be the spiritual dynamic to it, but then also the personality dynamic, right? Is this person really interested in, you know, art or music or something like that? So my character is like really interested in space. We have another character, a puppet actually named Skates, who likes skating. I know, really subtle. You know, we have, you know, Finn, who's the bad boy, who's really into football and stuff like that. We have, you know, Velma, who's a scientist. We have all of these different characters. We have this, yeah, Snowball's the cat, right? And everybody loves her. We have this one new character, Granny Gracie, who has this whole, like, old lady outfit with all of these little cats on it and everything like that. And, you know, that's a lot of fun. So, and then, so, you know, developing characters and then special techniques. So a couple of things that we do that really makes makes things fun. First of all is getting the kids involved. And so I listed, you know, as sound effects or crowds or in the story, right? So for example, let's say you're doing the story of Peter denying Jesus. And you know, and you have the kids be the rooster sound. That's just a fun little thing that they can do that, one, helps with the problem of we don't always have a sound technician that can, you know, play a sound effect. But then, two, you say, all right, kids, when I give you the signal, you guys are all going to make the rooster sound. And now you've gotten them engaged, right? It maybe you're doing the story of Moses and the Red Sea, and you say, all right, when Moses lifts the staff, you guys all slide to one side or the other. You guys are the Red Sea. Or sometimes we even bring the kids into the story. So one of my favorite stories that we do is the Battle of Jericho. And what we do is we set up some mats in the middle of the room, some gym mats. And we have a couple of, you know, Canaanites standing inside of it. And we just have the kids march around those walls over and over again. And then they all yell and then we all fall and the kids all laugh and scream and hoot and holler. And it's a great time. I remember one time we got an email that day back saying, you know, when our daughter got home, she told us that we had to stand here and she walked around us and she told us the whole story. And I was like, you know, when the kids are involved in the story, it really, it hits home for them. We'll do something similar with the Red Sea where we've lined up mats across and then we have all the kids cross over from one side, and then I'm usually Pharaoh, and I'm usually pursuing them, and then I kick the mat over onto myself when, you know, it's time for Pharaoh to drown. So, ways to get the kids involved. Narrator. So, you might have noticed on the script the name Sharon keeps appearing. We have a woman named Sharon. She's, you know, the co-director with me, and she will narrate the story. So, that's really helpful because sometimes it's hard to do everything with just dialogue. So, you know, you'll have Mary and Joseph talking on stage, and then, you know, Sharon will say, so boys and girls, Mary and Joseph then made the long journey to Bethlehem, and, you know, kind of bridging those gaps. It also helps to recap. She can say, did you see that, boys and girls? Did you see how scared the Israelites were when Goliath started challenging them? And it really helps them to grasp those main points. And then you can even have a lot of fun with that. You know, the woman who used to help direct this used to do freezes and rewinds as the narrator. So she'd say freeze, and all of the actors would just freeze in whatever pose they were in. And she would tell the story. And it actually, whenever I was not actually in it, or maybe I was looking on from the back, it actually looked super cool when all of the actors were just frozen in place and she'd explain things. And, or, you know, sometimes she'd even say, all right, did you hear that? That was important. In fact, everyone pull out your remotes, which nobody has remotes anymore, but and hit the rewind button, and then the actors would just pretend to back up and stuff like that, and they'd deliver the line again. So all just fun special techniques you can use. The last one I highlight, using the whole room, entrances and exits, right? So in this room, you really have only one entrance and exit, unless we get a little creative. Maybe we could have characters entering from that door and, you know, hiding in there and coming out at the right time. You know, if we had a back door. You know, try to use the whole room. Again, you know, I gave the story of the Jericho story. That is a great way to engage the kids. So any questions on that? So most of what I talked about today was kind of a formal drama ministry, but now I want to talk to you about something that's a little bit different. So I teach a classroom on Wednesday nights for first and second graders, and what I do with them is I have them act out the story, And I'm going to show you how we do that. So I use simple props, right? So I just have a whole bunch of these hats right here. I've got soldier's helmet, these like Israelite looking hats, this crown. And what I do is I use this as a reward for good behavior. So I remind them every week, all right, boys and girls, we're about to go to worship time. And remember that I'm watching to see how you guys are behaving. And those of you guys who are behaving really well are going to be able to be part of our Bible story today. I kind of use that. And you give simple directions and lines. Now, you don't want the skit to become a distraction, right? As you have the kids acting it out, you want to make sure, you want to balance, you want it to be fun without it becoming a distraction, right? So sometimes I'll say, all right, remember, if you're not listening, I might have to ask you to switch with someone else. And then review the skit at the end. So for this part, I want to demonstrate it. So this will require audience participation. So I need a Moses. Who would like to be Moses today? Rochelle, you want to be Moses? All right. And I need, everyone's going to get to be in this. So I need a Pharaoh. Who would like to be Pharaoh? Cindy, you want to be Pharaoh? All right. And do you want to be Pharaoh's soldier?
Sure.
All right. And then I need some Israelites. So why don't my other friends come up and be Israelites? All right. So I'm just and Moses? You, of course, need this. So we're going to do the story of Moses and the Red Sea. And I'm just going to do this as if you guys are first and second graders in my class. So can I get the Israelites and Moses to stand over here, and then Pharaoh and his army over at the door? But you guys don't have to make it super realistic and act like first and second graders and not listen to me. That would... all right, so boys and girls, and I probably have them all, those who weren't in the story, flip to their Bible. So remember last week we learned that the Israelites were allowed to leave from Egypt, and God had them camp by the Red Sea. So boys and girls, you guys are right here by the Red Sea, and you can stop right there. Now, it says in verse 5, that it was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of his Pharaoh and his servant was turned against the people. And they said, so Pharaoh, you're going to say this line, why have we done this?
Why have we done this?
That we have let Israel go from serving us. And so the Bible says he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. So you guys can come over to this corner. And it says he also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. So we got not just one soldier, we got 600 soldiers. And the Egyptians pursued them, all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea besides Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. So boys and girls, if you guys saw the Egyptian army and you guys are trapped by the sea, how do you guys feel? They're pretty scared, right? And so the Bible says that that they said to Moses, so you guys can say this, because there were no graves in Egypt, that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness.
Taken us away to die here in the wilderness?
Why did you deal with us this way?
Why did you deal with us this way?
To bring us up out of Egypt.
To bring us up out of Egypt?
It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians.
It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians.
Then we should die in the wilderness.
We should die in the wilderness.
And as a note, I didn't necessarily follow it word for word there. There were times I skipped around or maybe simplified the language. So again, you can kind of do what you want. But Moses said to his people, so Moses, you can say this, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Stand still.
Stand still.
And watch the salvation of the Lord.
Watch the salvation of the Lord.
These Egyptians. That you see today. You will see again no more forever.
You will see no more again forever.
Then the Lord will fight for you.
And the Lord will fight for you.
And you shall hold your peace.
And you shall hold your peace.
And so now the Lord says this to Moses. And as a note, I never have a kid play the Lord. I usually just do that as a voice. If we're doing Jesus, and some people have convictions about it, I will allow, and I always have a boy play Jesus, just because I don't want any confusion there. But it says, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall pass on dry ground. And if we had a lot of kids, I'd probably have the rest of the kids be the water. Mm-hmm. All right, boys and girls, separate. And then you Israelites, you guys cross over to dry on the dry land.
And then I follow.
And you can follow, yep. And then it says, the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And it said that the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, it stood between the Egyptians and camp of Israel. And then it said, so then the Bible says that Moses stretched out his hand over the sea and caused the sea to go back into dry land. So the Egyptians chase after, so you guys can chase after them. And then Moses lifts up his rod and the sea swallows them up. All right, and you guys can all give me your hats and sit back down in your seats. So that's how I would do something like that in the classroom. And then afterwards, I'll sit and talk and break down and discuss it. All right, boys and girls, you know, what did we learn from that? That was a pretty big problem, wasn't it? I won't go over teaching and everything. There's plenty of other workshops there. But, you know, just review, recap, bring out the main point. But now they've done it in such a way that they didn't just hear what happened. They saw and experienced what happened, and you really brought them into the story. So that's a fun thing that I like to do with them. So we've got about 7 minutes left for Q&A about any of the topics that we talked about, or so if you have any questions about how you could incorporate these sorts of things in your churches and your ministries, that'd be great.
Just there's a lot of skits on the website where you guys use in VBS.
So we have skits for VBS. I don't have any of our Kids Club skits on the website, which are the weekly ones that we use. I can give you my contact info, and if you are interested in seeing any of them, I'd be more than happy to email some of those to you or something like that. But we do have skits going back to probably 2016, so about 10 years worth of skits. And those are VBS skits. So those are going to be very tailored to the VBS we're doing. But again, you could just decide to do that VBS. But even if not, that could at least maybe give you some ideas of what that would look like. Yeah. Any other questions? 5 minutes. Marissa, you have any questions?
How did Gal?
Very good.
Yeah.
I knew you would.
So with the VBS, you just follow their program, right?
So we do our own curriculum at for VBS here. So we write our lessons, and then I will write a skit that corresponds. So I write our skits here for us, and what I do is I try to I take the VBS and I try to think what would be a good way to portray that, because with writing skits like that, there's things to consider. You know, am I going to do something more grounded like a camp, or something more like spectacular like outer space or Middle Ages or something? And the other thing that I often consider, which I didn't talk about too much, is allegory versus literal. So sometimes the skit will be allegorical. So we did the return of Christ, and we did like this king that was coming back to, you know, a kingdom. And so in that skit, they didn't talk about Jesus and the Bible and God. They talked about this king character that represented Jesus. Whereas in the skit we did this year, Taming the Tongue, this was like real life, like, all right, the Bible says this, am I going to do it or not? And so depending on the topic of your VBS, a different type of script might serve that purpose a little bit more. So Yeah, my process is basically look at what the lessons are and see what type of skit might really come well alongside that lesson and support it. Because it's very easy for the skit to become like an undue focus of the week. You can write a super fun, exciting skit, and that's all the kids think about. But it's how can I make this something that's very grounded in with the lessons so that it's really applicable. So hope that answers your question. Any other questions?
Did you ever make a child cry?
So that's a consideration. The question was, did you ever make a child cry? I forgot I have to repeat the questions from the recording. When you're doing the four-year-olds, you definitely want to tone things down. When we do the Jericho skit, we'll trash talk the kids as they're walking around the walls of Jericho, and I always have to make sure I don't make it too scary and everything like that. I remember one time, Sharon, our co-director, she was playing the character Barabbas, and she's like this like petite little blonde woman you would not think is capable of being scary and terrifying, and she let out this most like horrific roar as Barabbas when he was set free, and like his kids started crying, and it was hilarious. That is something to be conscious of, maybe. All right. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Let's pray to just close this workshop out, and then I assume we're still meeting for an abbreviated 15 minutes in the sanctuary. Let's pray. If you have any questions or, again, need my contact info, I'm happy to leave it with you, but otherwise you can head over there. Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this day, for this conference. And I just pray that each of these guys would be able to take the things that they've learned both in this workshop and throughout the conference and use it at their churches and their fellowships. And Lord, we just most of all pray that the things that are learned here would grow and edify these kids. So we love you. We thank you for this day. It's in your name we pray. Amen.